Right. We're looking at the subject trading places. See, the lamb was a substitute for the people. You see, the lamb did not sin. Did the lamb sin? It was the people that sinned. But the lamb took their place. So everything that was happening with all the sacrifices happening in the Old Testament, they were a type of the real. And Jesus is that lamb. Amen. So when they were making the sacrifice in the Old Testament, it was an imperfect sacrifice because it was not like for like. It was human beings that sinned. So a lamb cannot take the place of human beings. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 17 and let's begin to dive into more of these accounts and getting an understanding of the Easter story. Leviticus 17 and verse 11 say, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." I mean, you know that blood is life. Amen. So God says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul." So the is the blood that makes atonement. What is atonement? Atonement is payment. It is payment. It is payment to cleanse people. Payment to cleanse you. Atonement is the same word, redemption. You know, we talked about redemption already. To be bought back, to be redeemed, to be ransomed. So why is God going through all of this effort? God cannot relate with humanity in our sin. No sinner can fellowship with God. Because God is holy. God is pure. He will take you to be clean to fellowship with God. But the people were sinners. They were in their sin. God had to find a substitute. Because God's desire for humanity is to relate with us, is to fellowship. That's what he made us for. He made us for fellowship. You know, so God has to keep chasing us, keep running after us, even though we've all gone what? We've gone astray. So we cannot redeem ourselves. We don't even know how much redemption we need. But God knows, that's why he keeps chasing us with his mercy. With his grace. You know, it's a wrong understanding to think that, you know, I need to try and get God to forgive me. God has forgiven you. You just need to recognize it. God is not counting your sin against you. Hallelujah. And so God is telling the people, God still, a whole nation, said, "I want to have fellowship with you." That's the only way you will have joy and life and fulfillment in life. Because that's what we were created for. We were created to fellowship with God and give him pleasure. And so God said, you know, because of your sin, I will give you the blood of the animal. Because the blood is what? Is life. So that life will be a substitute for your life. So that I can do what? Fellowship with you. So it says, "For it is the blood." It is the blood that makes atonement for sin. It is atonement for what? For the soul. The soul there is just means your life. Your soul is your life. So the blood is a replacement for that life. So you sin, and then someone else pays the price. Isn't that a good deal? What a good deal that is. Hallelujah. We looked at that on Friday. All the various ways that Jesus was our substitute. Because God loves you. You wouldn't substitute something good for something bad if you didn't love the person. I know that there are moms and dads here who are willing to substitute anything. You know, you could see some people, maybe you find your child going through a particular pain. You say, "I wish that pain will come to me so that my child will have some relief." But you know, what Jesus did for us is greater because we didn't even know the importance of coming to God. And so God says to the people, "The blood is what I will use as a substitute. Otherwise, I will have to kill you because the soul that sins has to do what? Has to die. But I need you. I love you. You are precious to me." Amen. So atonement is cleansing, is to make satisfactory payment. Let's keep going now. Leviticus, the same chapter, in chapter 16, verse 2. Look at what it took for God to be able to relate with the people in the Old Testament. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, who is Aaron? Aaron was a high priest. So there needed to be a high priest who would go between God and man. God couldn't just come. Remember, there was a time God came with his glory and the people ran away and said, we can't stand it. Because when you come before God in sin, as a sinful person, you can't stand. You'll be melted like wax. That's how powerful, how holy, because God is so pure and we are so unclean. He needs to clean us up in order to have fellowship with us. Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time. You see, now you can just stroll into church. They couldn't. So why is it possible that you can just walk into church anytime? They couldn't. This is God wanting to come down to fellowship with the people. He said to even the high priest, you know why? The high priest himself will have sinned. Don't you know that your pastor sins? Amen. Amen. Some people are shocked. You know, sin means to miss the mark. If you do not reach up to the standard of God's holiness, you have sinned. So maybe you say, oh, I didn't commit adultery, I didn't do this, I didn't. You know, if there were things that you were meant to do and you didn't do them, you have sinned. You know, we are the ones who qualify sin and say, my sin is greater than yours. Your sin is greater than mine. Before God, all sin is sin. Because sin is like a dot trying to affect the purity of God. So any dot, if you have a white, very spotless dress on you, you put it on, and maybe you were trying to chew on some, what can you chew on? With a lot of sauce on it. Or maybe you're trying to pour that ketchup on it. And then just a tiny bit of the ketchup touches that. Is that dress still pure? You know, that dress is like God. Any stain. That's why David, you know, when he sinned, he said, wash me with hyssop. Wash me clean. And I'll be whiter than snow. We need purity and cleanness, but we can't clean ourselves. These people couldn't clean. So the high priest himself, look at what he has to do. Say he cannot come anytime because I'm holy, I'm pure. He said, into the holy place, inside the veil, before the mercy seat, praise God. See, he can't access mercy without first purifying himself. Which is on the ark, lest he does what? You think it's because God will kill him? No, his impurity will kill him. It's not that God will kill him. He is not being pure. And you are coming near a holy God. You just die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Keep going, verse number 3. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place. This is how he will come into the holy place. With what? The blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. He must come with blood. The blood is to cleanse him. It's to clean him up. He has to give life. The life of the animal will represent his own life. Substitute. We call the title of the series Trading Places. That's what God does. He traded places with us in order to fellowship with us. So with the blood of a young bull, I say what? Sin offering. And this lets you know that it's not only the people that sin, the priest. There's no person who does not sin. Amen. And a ram as a burnt offering. Burnt offering just means something you burn. Amen. So the other one is a sin offering. You've got to do what? You've got to kill it and get the blood out. The burnt offering is the one you put on the altar and you burn it to God. And there are significances to this. That's not what we're talking about. It's to let you know that there's peace. Because when God smells the burnt offering, the Bible says it comes to him like a what? A sweet aroma. I am pleased with you. Amen. Verse 5. And then he shall wear holy garments as well. So it's not just the blood. It's, you know, you can't just come to church anyhow. Your garment has to be pure. Everything, you see, God is giving him. Let's go back to that verse 4. Let's read it again. Verse 4. He said, he shall be girded with a linen sash and with a linen turban. That's why you find some people today, they're still dressed like that. They don't know that Christ has already come. Amen. So God was giving him all the specific things, specifications of what he had to do. Why was God doing that? Because he had to meet his standard. Not your standard. It has to be his standard for it to qualify as purity for him. And so therefore, he shall wash his body in water. So you couldn't just get up from your bed and say, it's time for church. I haven't got time to shower. Maybe you just wash your face, brush your teeth. You can't do that. What will happen if he did that? He would die because he's impure. He's not pure. And so he said, put them on, verse 5, and he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt. So he's not just going to shed blood for himself. He will shed blood for who? For the people. This is a bloody exercise, isn't it? It's about blood. Blood. All of what the priests were doing in those days were just taking animals and killing and making blood and sprinkling blood. They were just sprinkling blood. Why were they doing that? Because they needed to fellowship with God, and without the shedding of blood is no remission for sin. God wanted to clean the people so that he can come down and he can fellowship with them. He can love them. He can care for them. He can hear their prayers, answer their prayers. And every need the people ever have, they can come to God. They don't have to seek help anywhere else. They can come to God and seek help, and God will answer their prayers. When the enemy came to fight them, they just need to talk to God, and God will fight their enemies for them. When sickness plagued them, the Lord will come down and heal them of all their diseases. Amen. So this is the benefit that they will have from relating with God. And then verse 15 again. It says, then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering. So he had to get two goats every year. This is to be able to enter into the Holy of Holies, to enter in the very presence of God. I know this is taking you through some history lessons, but this is important for us to understand what Christ did for us. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil. I don't know if I could have done his job. Blood, 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 everywhere. But I wanted to see what he took the people to come to God. It's not a sin, because sin is a big deal. Sin separates from God. Sin kills. Sin destroys. Sin has to be dealt with. And God is the one that will deal with that problem of sin. So he says, as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So one goat is for what? To get the blood. The other goat, look at what he would do with the other goat. So two pure goats, male goats, verse 20, this is what he would do with the other goat. And when he has made an end of atoning in the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. So one goat he will kill and get the blood out, and then the other one is a live goat. Verse 21. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat. Confess over it all, what? The iniquities of the children of Israel. So he will put on the live goat both hands and speak all their sins. All their sins. What are you seeing here now? In order to relate with God, there must be no sin. In order to fellowship with God, you must be pure. You must be holy. You must be clean. So he says, put all the sins on that live goat. Confess all their iniquities. So maybe I don't think he will have to mention everybody's name, because then that would be a lot. He will say, all my people. And like I said last Sunday, maybe he's done a survey. of all the kind of sins people have done. Maybe when his brother Moses was judging the people, someone came and said, he stole my donkey. So he would confess it. Our people have sinned. The other day, some of them might have stolen each other's property. Some of them might have committed adultery. Some of them might have lied. Some of them might have confessed all their sins. Did the goat sin? But who is taking their place? The goat. They sinned, the goat is innocent. The innocent is carrying the sin of the guilty. That's what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. He says, putting them on the head of the goat. So when they were putting a crown of thorns on Jesus, he said, that's what they were doing. They were putting all our sins. As he was dying on that cross, he was taking all our sins and all our shame and all our guilt on the head of the goat and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. Keep going. Verse 22. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land. And he shall release the goat. See, if you read that Leviticus 16, the goat will go into the wilderness and it will die there. So, you see, what's happening with God is that why will he have to take him to the wilderness? Why did he have to take a suitable man, a fit man? Because God does not want the goat to return to the camp. If the goat returns to the camp, it means what? Their sin has returned. So God not only wants to cleanse us of our sin through the blood, he wants to take the sin far from you. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to picture this. Is the sin taken away because you stopped sinning? That's a question we've got to ask. The people still didn't stop sinning because someone else is taking their place. So as soon as this is done, you know, for the whole year, the people didn't think of sin. They just felt we are right with God. They can fellowship with God. So the goat was bearing all of their sin, all of their iniquity, and that's why the Bible says in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, he has taken your sin far from you. I want you to catch this. As a believer, you are not a sinner. And, you know, sometimes people don't catch this, they don't understand this, because they don't understand what Christ did. This is exactly what he did on the cross. As a believer, no believer, anyone who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, cannot be called a sinner. Well, do you sin? Oh, yes, but you are not a sinner. Is it making sense to you? The people, did they sin? Oh, yes, but were they sinners? No, why were they not sinners? Because the goat has taken their place. Because no sinner can stand in the presence of God. So God had to find a substitute. Someone had to take their place. So let's go into the New Testament now. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Hebrews 9, 22. It says, indeed, under the law, which we just read, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So this is what Aaron had to do. He had to purify the altar and all the cups, all the tables, everything. He had to sprinkle blood on them to cleanse them, because everything has to be pure when God is coming. It has to be pure. Praise God. So we sinned. The goat is sinless. We were guilty. The goat is innocent. But he took our place. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. I really want us to get this background of what is happening. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Say, good things to come. Now, what was happening, what we were describing in Leviticus, you can go back and read so many accounts of blood being shed in the Bible, and people say, oh, why was all that happening? It was all for purity. It was all to take away sin so that God would be able to relate with people. But here it says, the law having a shadow of good things to come. So even what they were doing was not God's perfect will. And not the very image of the things. That is, the law was just a shadow. It was a type of what will happen in future. The goat is representing something. The lamb is representing something. The bull is representing something. It's a shadow. It's a type. Everything happening under the old covenant was a type of the good things to come, the better things to come, which is what happened at Easter. He said, and not the very image of the things can never what? With the same sacrifices which were offered continually year by year, make those who approach what? Perfect. So all of those sacrifices did not make the people perfect. Keep going. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Now, if the people were perfect, then you wouldn't have to offer the sacrifices again. This is what the Bible is letting us know. They would not have. For the worshippers, once purified, will have no more consciousness of sin. You see, because the sacrifice they offered could not cleanse their conscience. Even though they were cleansed, but their conscience was still telling them and judging them that you are a sinner. Amen. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. So every time they came yearly to do the sacrifice, what will it remind them? It will remind them of their sins. Keep going. For it is what? Not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. They didn't take it away. What did they do? It covered for 1 year. So we'll cover it for 1 year. And after that year, they will remember. We are sinners again. They will come and they will make the sacrifice again. They will cover it. Keep going. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. What's that body? The body of the Lord Jesus. That's the body. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. You know, I know sometimes, you know, you wonder, so why would God allow all those things? God had no pleasure. So every time they killed the goat, God was not happy. But he had to do it. You know, would you rather have the goat or yourself? Amen? It's because God loved you so much, he replaced you with a goat. But God wasn't pleased because he knows the animal was innocent. It was paying for you. So in burnt offerings and sacrifices, God didn't have pleasure. Verse 7. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. This is Jesus speaking now. This is Jesus coming on the scene. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. And every priest. Now notice what happened in the Old Testament. The priest will take the lamb, isn't it? Or he will take the goat. Jesus was not just our scapegoat. He was not just our sin offering, the goat for the sin offering. Jesus was also our high priest. Hallelujah. He is the high priest. You know, the high priest will have to take the goat. Jesus is alive, so he is the one, the high priest himself. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Are you understanding that sin is the issue? Okay. But this man, who is this man? Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice, one, not yearly anymore, not daily anymore. This man, Jesus, he offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Forever. Say forever. Forever. Hallelujah. There is no more sacrifices required for sin. God will never accept any human sacrifice, any sacrifice that anybody, so people who involve and engage themselves in all of these sacrifices that they are carrying out is ungodly, is of the devil, because one sacrifice has been made forever for sin. God is satisfied now. God is pleased now that the sacrifice for the sin of humanity has been paid once and for all. One sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down where? At the right hand of God. Hey, hallelujah. Where is Jesus now? He's at the right hand of God. Verse 13. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Praise God. For by one offering, say one offering. One offering. He has what? Perfected. Say, I'm perfected. I am perfected. Say, I am perfected. Now, if you don't catch the import, the significance of what Christ has done for you, you don't yet know what the Easter story, you don't yet know what redemption means. This is huge. Every sin you've ever committed, every sin you are committing now, every sin you will ever commit, he's been paid for. Hallelujah. That's why no one needs to fear God. In terms of, when I say fear, dread. Anytime you sin, the best place to come is with his presence. Because you didn't do it. He paid the price with his precious son. Hallelujah. One offering he has perfected forever, those who are being sanctified. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. I'm enjoying this. I hope you're enjoying it. Amen. Colossians 1, 21. The price has been paid. You can come to God anytime. Wake up in the morning, you come to him. You don't have to look for a bull. You don't have to look. You don't have to say, oh God, you know, why did I do this? No, no, no. Just come to him. When God sees you, he doesn't see you. He sees Christ, the blood on you. Amen. Because it is the blood that makes what? Atonement for sin, the blood. And you who once were alienated and enemies in what? In your mind by wicked works. Yet now he has reconciled. Who reconciled us? Did you do the reconciling? No, he did it. Next verse. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. Say, I'm holy. Some people are finding it's very hard to say. Say, I am holy. Now, why are you holy? Is it because you did holy things? No. It's because he died on the cross. He shed his blood so that he can present you holy, what? Blameless. I don't think we have come to the teeny-weeny understanding yet of what Jesus did on the cross. He took all our blame, our shame, our guilt, and he nailed it to the cross. So before God, now that's actually what it says. It says above reproach. In where? In his sight. You see, people can say, look at you and be saying, oh, look at you, look at you, the nasty, dirty son. So before God, you are pure, you are holy. Otherwise, we would not have been able to come to his presence. Because if we came and we were not holy, what would happen? But instead of dying, what do we have? We have life. For God so loved the world, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but they shall have eternal. Eternal life means Zoe, the very life of God. We live in God. Amen. Because he lives, we live also. Hallelujah. Amen. John chapter 20. I'll be rounding up. Just chapter 20. But you know, there's so much. I think I'll continue this when we get to Chapel St. Giles. You can join us for the service over there as well. Amen. John 20. Is that what you have? So Jesus is our high priest, isn't it? But a high priest needs what? To go into the Holy of Holies. In his blood. So the high priest doesn't, you know, this high priest is different to the high priest in the Old Testament. Because this high priest is not taking the blood of another. He's taking his own blood. And he needs to go where? Where is he going to take the blood? To the Holy of Holies, and he will pour it on where? On the mercy seat, so that the people will receive mercy from God. The throne of grace. The throne of mercy. So he needs to go in, because we have been told that the ones that we read in Leviticus, they were a shadow, a type. There are better things to come. Jesus is a better thing. Jesus' blood is a better thing. Give him better promises. And so Jesus said to the woman, when Jesus rose from the dead, when the woman came, who was that woman? Do you know her name?
Mary.
Amen. Mary came and said, he said, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Do you remember the story? Because she thought he was the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will take him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher or master, because she didn't recognize him. Look at what Jesus said to her. And then Jesus replied, do not touch me. See, when the high priest is going, no human person will come around the high priest and touch him when he's going to the Holy of Holies. He has to do all of the sacrifices, the blood and everything, and he will go in all alone. Nobody must go with him, and no person must touch him. Say, do not touch me, for I have not yet done what? Ascended to my Father. Go to who? Brothers. Why are they brothers now? Because when Christ has paid for their sin, they are not just his servants anymore. They are not just his disciples anymore. They are brothers. You are a brother of Christ, and you are a sister of Christ. You are joint heirs together with him. The purity and righteousness of Jesus has been given to you. God sees you the way he sees Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. He said, do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father, and who? Your Father. Why is he ascending? He needs to go and present the blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Because everything that you see in the holy place, in the tabernacle, the Bible says, Moses should make them according to how God asked him to make them, because they were a shadow of everything in heaven. So he says, I go to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So what did Jesus do? You know, he came back. He had to first go, because the high priest must first go into the Holy of Holies, shed the blood before coming out to the people. He went to shed the blood and sprinkle it in heaven. Hallelujah. And then he returned. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been cleansed. Amen. We can fellowship with God. Jesus is our substitute. He's our scapegoat. He's the lamb who has taken away the sin of the whole world. You know, powerfully, you've got to understand that you can talk to God anytime without any consciousness of sin. You know, the consciousness of sin will affect your relationship with God. You can't have a good relationship with God if you're always thinking sin, that I'm a sinner. God has purified you. He has cleansed you. Hallelujah. That's why you remember the woman who was caught in the very act. The Pharisees said, we caught her in the very act. And Jesus said what? He who does not have any sin, let him cast the first stone. In ourselves, we are sinners, but in Christ, we are saints. Amen. He has paid for every sin. As we get into Easter, let this understanding come unto you. And that's why you should love him for what he has done for us. He has done so much for us. Hallelujah. We cannot tell it all. Oh, how precious the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the blood. Go ahead and say, Lord, I thank you. For the blood, for the blood, for the blood, the precious blood. Thank you for the price that you paid. Oh, to cleanse me, to purify me. Thank you, Lord God, that I can come with boldness and confidence to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. To find mercy and grace every time. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.